This is the State of Things from the Upstage Cabaret at Triad Stage in downtown Greensboro. I'm Frank Stacio. Ten years ago, Duke Energy came out to some pretty affluent neighborhoods here in Greensboro, and they started cutting trees. Residents complained to the city council, but nothing really happened. Duke stopped cutting, and the problem seemed to go away. The reason they were there in the first place was to clear trees growing near power lines. City law gives them permission to do that, and just recently Duke Energy returned to do it again, and once again, residents are furious. They want the city council to do something about it, and this time they are. Duke Energy stopped cutting after being threatened with a cease and desist order by the city council, and changes to the law are underway. WUNC's Greens Bureau Chief Jeff Tiberi is with us to talk about that and other news in the Triad. Jeff, welcome. It's good to have you here.
Hi, Frank. Thanks for coming.
So explain this. Yeah, Jeff Tiberi. I forget, we actually get to see the audience and they get to show their appreciation for you and all the work you do. So tell us about the situation with Duke and Greensboro.
As you mentioned, it had been 10 years, so naturally some of the trees had grown. Some of them had grown a lot. And when subcontractors for Duke Energy showed up last month to do some cutting, they did some cutting, and they didn't tell the residents that they were going to cut. So there were some residents that came home and found stumps in their front yard, some on private property, some on the public right-of-ways between the sidewalks and the road. And residents were quite upset. The number, according to one city council member, was north of 100 in terms of trees that were cut down. Duke said that it was between 40 and 50. Regardless, trees were cut down very quickly in the course of a day or just in a couple of hours. People were very upset about it. And Duke Energy, of course, says that this is they have the ability to do this, they have the right to do this, they need to do this. And the residents said, whoa, where's the communication? Where was the notice? And why are we cutting and not trimming or pruning?
Yeah, well, let's talk about the rights first of all. So clearly if trees are beginning to threaten power lines, they cut those down. But they can trim the branch, which, you know, you might do, or you can cut down the tree because 10 years from now you might have to come back. And they've opted in many cases to cut down the tree rather than do the pruning, right?
Duke has an easement of a radius. If you're thinking of a power line and, you know, you were to draw a radius around that power line of 15 feet, the next question, it's very vague. If a branch or a part, a limb, some component of the tree is within 15 feet of the power line, then Duke has the ability, the easement to cut, but to cut back to what extent? If there's a branch that's within 11 feet of the wire, can they then cut the entire tree down? 15 feet is a pretty big radius when you compare it to some places in the Triangle, Cary, Chapel Hill, Durham. Raleigh have radiuses in their ordinances that are closer to 7 feet. So
that's part of it, that the rules are pretty lax here. And what about the difference between cutting down the whole tree and pruning? Do other cities specify whether you know when you have to take down the tree or when you have the right to take down the tree and when you should just trim the branch?
There are much more stringent and detailed restrictions, thorough ordinances in other municipalities throughout the state. And I asked Duke about this. I said, is part of the reason you're cutting because it's cheaper? Is it cheaper to go ahead and cut a tree down than have to worry about coming back to X neighborhood or Y neighborhood every 3 or 4 years to prune? They wouldn't answer that. But...
Well, so what's the city council's response this time? Because it happened before, but then they all melted away. The problem seemed to go away before they actually took action.
There are three city council members that have been pretty vocal on this issue or are hearing from their constituents. So it appears I would be surprised if something doesn't happen. They have put together a group of nine, three city employees, three workers from Duke, and three citizens, concerned citizens, one landscape architect, who are coming up with suggestions and really hopefully the middle ground so that they can put together an ordinance that makes sense and pleases some, if not all.
What about Duke? Are they going to, like, chain themselves to a pole and scream, save the power lines?
Well, their concern is that they need to do trimming and pruning. They need to do it probably more than in 10-year increments. But the flip side to this is if they just let everything grow and there's an ice storm or there's a hurricane and people lose power for 2 weeks, people are going to be upset. Mm-hmm. And Duke is trying to, in their words, they're trying to balance running a business with the desires and the requests of their consumers. And they say that cutting down is a last resort. The residents don't feel like that has really been the way they've acted. They think that Duke has been a little too aggressive in the way they've cut.
All right, we'll stay tuned and come back. Let's take a look at another case now. Winston-Salem, a controversy about a gun ban in the parks.
So Winston-Salem has 69 public parks, and in part or all of 52 of them, it is illegal to carry a concealed weapon. The state legislature gave municipalities the ability to restrict concealed carry permits in recreational areas, and Winston-Salem went ahead and said that a recreational area is a playground, a swimming pool, or an area with athletic fields or athletic facilities. So guns are restricted, concealed carry permits are restricted in 52 of those 69, but that doesn't always encompass an entire park, and the folks that are not happy about this are saying that it's not very well communicated, or and the signage is not very good.
Well, who's not happy? Are there people who think it should be more restrictive or less restrictive?
There is a Rights Watch International. This is a pro-gun group, and they say that this is a violation of the Second Amendment. They have filed a lawsuit against Winston-Salem because they say it's the city's just overstepping its bounds here, and that they shouldn't be restricting to the extent that they have.
And municipalities have the right to do this, right? I mean, that the legislature has given this right to
They have, but Rights Watch International says that they've just overstepped it. So there are some greenways, there are some trails, there are some other kind of parky areas that they say, the group says it's just too ambiguous. It's not clearly only a track where there's a high school meet going on, that, you know, some of this is are areas where the city doesn't have the right to do it.
Well, obviously, one way to make it more clear is to just ban any weapon, a concealed weapon, from any public area, so you don't have this problem of saying, well, in the picnic area, you can have your gun, but when you go over to the track, you know, which is adjacent to this, mm-hmm. you have to put your gun back in the car or something. My point is you can make it more restrictive, and then it's clear.
In theory, you could, and I think that certainly would lead to another lawsuit or more right. pushback from right. the guns
right.
group.
Right. So this is what other cities are doing this? It seems to me that not having a concealed weapon in a park is pretty common for municipalities in North Carolina.
This is not unique to Winston-Salem. The gun rights group feels that it's not clear. They want the signage more prominently displayed. And if you're going from an area that you might have a picnic to an area that has a track or a tennis courts, and they also, quite frankly, want to, as they've said, they want to increase your ability to have a concealed carry weapon, because this gun rights group says that violent crimes, there's a problem with violent crimes in Winston-Salem, and the ability to for more people to have guns at parks would perhaps combat that. The city, on the flip side, doesn't have statistics for violent crimes in parks, so we don't know whether or not that's true.
How about gun arrests? Are many people arrested for carrying concealed weapons in parks?
The city attorney told me that there were none last year, zero.
I mean, I'm just guessing that this is the kind of crime that gets attached to another crime. So when you get arrested for public intoxication and I find the concealed weapon, then I add that charge. Good mm-hmm. thing, because you don't want drunks in parks with guns, right?
Sure.
For instance. Okay.
For instance.
So we'll have to wait and see.
We will.
So another fascinating story up here, a story about a basketball player at High Point who has an unusual medical condition. Tell us about him.
A fellow by the name of Alan Chaney, and he's from Baltimore. He was a big-time recruit. He went to the University of Florida, and his playing time decreased. It kind of dwindled, and he got frustrated. He transferred to Virginia Tech, and while there, he had a couple of different cardiac episodes. He essentially collapsed, and he ended up having open-heart surgery. He has what's called viral myocarditis, and I apologize if I'm mispronouncing that, which essentially is an inflammation of the heart. It's a virus, and it can potentially be fatal. So he went through a couple of surgeries and now has a defibrillator in his heart. He's the only college basketball player currently playing with a defibrillator. There was one player last year. There have been a few over the last 15 or 20 years. I mean, a very small few, less than 10. But he is playing, and he's happy to, you know, to be playing again. He had cardiologists tell him that he would never play basketball again.
He's playing now, and this is the first season back since he and in Virginia they just wouldn't let him play.
He is. They would not. Virginia Tech would not give him clearance. They told him before he had the surgery and the defibrillator put in that the doctor said, we're not going to give you clearance to play here again. So what he did after he got the treatment was he went to train in Las Vegas with an older player who also had played college basketball with a defibrillator and essentially waited for a call, waited for somebody to say, we want you, we'll give you clearance. And High Point University gave him that clearance. And he's been starting for them.
Jeff, thanks so much for being with us. Jeff Tabiri, WUNC's Greensboro Bureau Chief. Just ahead, a sneak peek of Paper Lantern Theater Company's production of The Aliens. And Laura Lynn Dossett is here, joined by Scott Manring. And they're going to play us out this segment. But first, I want to tell you that this is the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Our program continues. Laura Lynn Dossett.
Yellow ribbons in the pines.